Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Force
and so much power put into this. It's like the 13th and not going to certain floors, you know, in an elevator and things like that. And so next, you know, wow, we invoke and we invite the spirits and energies of our ancestors to be with us tonight and always. We treasure the gifts of our ancestors. We treasure the gifts that they bring to us on a daily basis as we recognize their energy, their love, their power, and their connection with us. And so we just take time to do that each week. We invoke, we invite, we treasure the energy of our ancestors. Ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Tonight's show is reconnecting families from two sides of the Atlantic with Dr. Leroy Frazier. Dr. Frazier brings so much. Just wait until I share his extensive background with you. You'll understand how heavy this brother is, and we'll take a listen to what he has to say. So, audience, as always, you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments, again, are always welcome, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment on life, love, and wellness. So to call in, the number is 5119, and you just press 1 to let me know you want to speak on air. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I picked out a couple of songs for us tonight that's really going to get into this uniting family with Dr. Leroy Frazier. So we're going to listen to our first one right now.
Gonna have know the family is the solution to the world's problems today. Now let's take a look at the family. In the family, the father is like the head, the leader, the director, not domineering, but showing love, guidance for everyone else in the family. As we could get all the fathers of the world to stand up and be fathers, that would be great. But then we have mothers, are the right arm of the father. They're supposed to do the cooking, raise the children, do the sewing, and help the father to guide and direct. Then there's the son. The son, most sons are like imitators of their father. So we're back again to the father. He is guiding in the right way. The son is definitely going to be all right. Then we have the daughter watching her mother, because sooner or later she's going to be a mother and she'll have her own son.
Oh, it cut off. Oh, my God. I love the old days of family reunion. It just puts you in the mood for family, for loving, for being with those people that are your support at every turn. So I'm sorry, you guys, because I was really grooving to it. It was hard for me to keep quiet. But that was the OJs with Family Reunion. So welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandra Rogers Show. You're welcome to call in and chat with us on air at 516-531-9819. We have with us tonight Dr. Leroy Frazier, a.k.a. Nana Kwame, and he's going to be joining us in just one moment.
Sandy Rogers News Reel.
So the Mayo Clinic in Arizona did a study conducted by their physicians, and it analyzes more than 1.5 million people, and what they found is meat consumption raises the mortality rate. They said that their recommendation is that physicians should advise their patients to limit animal products when possible and consume more plants than meat. In that study of more than 1.5 million people, researchers found only processed meat significantly increases the risk for all-cause mortality. They also found a 3.6-year increase in life expectancy for those on a vegetarian diet for more than 17 years. And so I wanted to make sure I shared that with you. And then just another quick story, and then we're going to get into Dr. Frazier. So there have been some lawsuits filed against some large companies. Their popular brand sued for using non-organic and questionable ingredients in their organic, get this, baby formula. So the Organic Consumer Association, the OCA, is suing Jessica Albers, the Honest Company, claiming that 11 of the listed 40 ingredients in its organic infant formula are synthetic substances that are not permitted in organic products. The OCA is also suing Hain Celestial Group over false labeling and violating the D.C. Consumer Protection Procedures Act. The products specified include Earth's Best organic infant formulas and organic toddler formula. Commercial infant formulas have many drawbacks and potentially hazardous ingredients. If you're unable to breastfeed and cannot find a safe source of breast milk. Your next best bet is to make your own formula. So that's for anyone that you know that's of childbearing years, that may be pregnant, have a small infant. This is important. They're poisoning our babies with this stuff that they're marketing falsely. So I just wanted to make sure that I shared that with you. Now my honor, my esteem honor, to introduce to you my friend, Dr. Leeward Frazier, and I am going to narrow down his extensive resume. I was reading through it, and I've just become more and more amazed at what he's accomplished in his short lifespan, because he's not an old man. I met Dr. Frazier maybe 2008 or 2009. I'm not really sure of the year. And I had no idea he was such a heavyweight until he poured in his resume to me. So just as a child, he worked on his parents' farm in Nesbitt, Mississippi. And then he did some other farming. He was a cricket raiser in Memphis, Tennessee, a worm raiser in Mississippi, worm, biomedical researcher with Rust College in Holly Springs, Mississippi. He was a visiting professor of chemistry at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. So for 24 years, he worked in various positions at Morris Brown College here in Atlanta. From 1986 to 2010, he was an associate professor, executive vice president, associate professor of chemistry, and interim president of Morris Brown, vice president of international institutional research planning and evaluation. And he's back now in 2016 working with the accreditation accreditation consultant to Morris Brown College. He's an associate minister. He was ordained back in 1984 at Solomon Temple Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He has founded and served as the president of Divine Fulfillment Institute, School of Divine Thought and Manifestation. He began this in 2007, and he's still doing it to this day. His writing started back in 1977. As he was at Memphis State University. And the one I found so interesting that he wrote back in 1978 was the chlorinated pesticides and heavy metals in streams and lakes of northern Mississippi. So Dr. Frazier was on it a long time before people started talking about it. And he has over 20 books, some of the titles are Converting Thoughts and Words into Things and Advancements. That was one of his very first books back in 2010. And he has Journey into My Soul. That was another one in 2010. I like this title here. I am African, born in America, to home. So some of his other achievements include he filed and won a federal voter registration lawsuit against the state of Mississippi back in 1975. So the brother's been on the battlefield for a long time. He became the first black person to receive a PhD degree in chemistry from Memphis State University back in 1983. So, and there's, it goes on and on. He is such a phenomenal individual. But let me give you some of what he's done in Africa. So he contributed a merry-go-round to the All Nations International School in Kumasi, Ghana, West Africa, back in 2011. He provided seed funds to assist people to start businesses in Ghana in 2012. And then he turned around that same year, provided seed money to assist people to start business in Kenya, East Africa. He's advised youth in Ghana with their 2012 presidential election. And he currently serves as godfather and role model to hundreds and hundreds of young people in West African countries. He's been doing that since 2010. So listeners and those that are on my show tonight, Life, Love, and Wellness. Please help me to welcome Dr. Leroy Frazier to our show. Dr. Leroy, are you there? I am so excited that you had time to join in with us tonight.
I am here, Reverend Sandy. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you extremely well. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time out of your schedule, sir.
I am so excited, and especially with this preliminary part of your radio show. I was sitting here listening to a family reunion, and I was just rejoicing over your show and all of the great things that you have shared. I was even making notes of some things that I can apply to my life health-wise. So I really appreciate all of the information. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, you just floored me with all of the accolades, you know, that we accumulate in life. But tell me about you. Tell me what it was as a small child growing up on your family's farm.
Well,
it
was very hard working. Family working together in the cotton field, in the pea patch, watermelon patch. It took all of my siblings, along with my mother and father, working together to make $50 a week. So
$50. Wow,
chopping
crazy.
Cotton in Nesbitt, Mississippi.
Wow.
But we made it. And looking back over those times, I think that's what motivated me to try to move forward and do something different. Even though my father did well on the farm and he was good and one of my brothers, I wanted something different in life, even though I appreciated that early background. But it was the something greater that I desired that kept encouraging me to move forward.
And that's what drove you to excelling, because you got all kind of awards and honors while you were in school, even before you went off to college.
That is correct. And, you know, while in high school, I was known to miss 40 days out of school during an academic year because I was helping my family on the farm.
Wow.
But I was reading by night.
That just goes to show you what type of person that you are, because you did what you were destined to do with your family. I wanted to say obligated, but the word wouldn't come out of my mouth. So you did what you were destined to do with your family, but then your goals allowed you the energy and the fortitude then to keep on with your studies in the night. And for you to miss 40 days and to still come with the academic awards and the honors, that's outstanding.
I thank you. As a matter of fact, valedictorian of the high school class, even after missing all of those days.
That's amazing. And you know, Dr. Frazier, you're a young person. I you may be in your 60s, but I'm not sure. I know you may be 40s or 50s. And so it's not like I'm talking to someone that's 80 and 90 years old. So you're not an old person to have lived through that. So are there still individuals that live in those farming communities or have those family ties? I'm sure the amount of money that they make would be more than $50 a week. That's an assumption totally on my part. But are there still people that live on the farms like that?
Well, things began to change right around 1968 after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And my family members began to get jobs in some of the major cities and began to make more money with constructions. My mother was one of the fastest worm pickers in Mississippi, and she made a lot of money with that. So quickly, our family began to move away from the farming, which by my age of 16, and I was able to see some other things. I began to work on the worm farm and the cricket farm, and then on to college after that.
You have a very colorful background. Now, I mean, it's just fascinating to me. It's just really fascinating. And, you know, like I said, I got so intrigued as I was reading your information there. So going in then to, was that the biochemical part of your career that was directly tied into your experiences from the farm?
Yes, it was. I was fascinated by some of the things on the farm from a nature point of view, and that encouraged me while in high school to enjoy chemistry. And I decided to go on to college and major in chemistry, and a lot of doors opened for me in research as a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. So I was able to conduct research in lakes and streams of Mississippi, chlorinated hydrocarbon pesticides, do major scientific presentations at conferences, and even to publish papers along that line. So it was very helpful.
Wow. You're incredible. When you meet Dr. Frazier, you guys, he is so low-key and so humble. You know, he's not boastful about all of these things that he's accomplished in life. And so it's just amazing to me. So if you keep hearing me stutter and be worried, wondering about the things that he's done, I'm just totally fascinated with him. And so we go on from college, and then you became into the professional arena at the colleges, and you were a professor and associate professor, and you just moved up the ranks as you obviously have done all your life. It's like a steady growth.
Things began to happen fast after graduating from college and then on to graduate school. And right after graduate school, you know, things began to happen very fast. I was a hard worker, just as I was on the farm, but very dedicated to people and to career, to family. So doors opened up very fast in universities. I moved on into administration and began to make a difference as far as students were concerned.
Great. Always looking out for the other person. So say it again.
Always reaching out to help.
Yeah. And you're still doing it now. So then you took retirement from the university circuit, and you started writing books.
Absolutely.
In that process. Yeah. So you want tell us about that. Like, so how did you make that transition? And man, you've written over 20 books in the last 6 years. So I mean, that is just incredible to me.
That is exactly right. My retirement from the university came because during that time I was hearing about things unfolding about my ancestral connections. I had a cousin that had conducted research ancestry-wise and had discovered that our blood connects to Ghana, to the Akan people there, the ethnic tribe. And I was teaching, and one day I was in the classroom, and I thought about it and looked at all of those students and wondered what possible ethnic tribe could they be from. And then turned around to myself and asked the same question. I did not know at the time, and that puzzled me. So my entire career after that point was deciding on retirement, was to pursue this understanding of who I am, who my people are, who other people, you know, who they might be from an ancestral point of view through ethnic tribe. And my 6 years of writing and all was documenting day by day my thoughts, my experiences. And that led to these over 20 books being written.
You're incredible. And so from the books that you began writing, you start making trips over into Ghana. How did you get some of your cousins investing in the ancestry process and your actual travels over there where you found your family members?
You know, my cousin is a very powerful researcher, and he has published many books and teaching tools about how to conduct ancestry research. But I was more of the PR person. I wanted to apply that practically. I really wanted to meet these individuals from the ethnic tribe, so I began to connect through Facebook. I began to ask a whole lot of questions of a whole lot of people in Ghana and in Nigeria and in other places, but more specifically Ghana. And as I asked these questions about life there and what life was before their grandparents and all of that, I developed this thought in my mind as if it was my great-great-great-great-grandmother speaking to me and saying that I was force-separated from my country as a young girl at the age of 10 when she left in 1790, and said, this voice came and said, I want you to go to my country, and I want you to see all of these things that are happening. I want you to document everything, and I want you to be able to come back and tell my people exactly what my country is like, what my people are like, and all of the different cultural experiences and all. And that was my mission, and that was my challenge, this voice that came to me from my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. So all of this was this writing, and there were many days and nights of writing. But it was also, it got to the point after the Facebook experience, the real-life experience of flying over and meeting the descendants of the ancestors on the other side of the ocean. What I found out, Dr. Reverend Sandy, is that they were as eager as I was to meet some of their relatives that had been force-separated through their ancestors from Africa. They wanted to meet them because their grandparents had told them about it. And they wanted to talk with people from the USA and other places, and I was one of those that decided to make that trip over.
Thank you for sharing that, and I'm just considering how you were able to start your process with Facebook and making those connections and doing a lot of your legwork before even flying over there. I, too, have had a journey into Africa, into Ghana, and went into Kumasi and Accra as well. And the people are very, very curious about the lives, our lives here in the United States, because just like we are not always told the 100% absolute truth about what goes on the other side of the Atlantic, they get the same falsehood in their records as to the life of the African-American here in the United States. But I remember, Dr. Frazier, going to the slave dungeon, and the guy that met us at the gate made such a sincere apology for their ancestors' role in that whole slavery incident that happened, that, you know, took place. And so I thought that that was so much a part of their healing that they're going through. And then you stop and you think about, you know, it has to be two sides to this, where it came together to even for that slave trade to be as profitable and successful as it was. There had to be someone in place there too, you know, to make it work. So I get you, and I completely agree with you and what you're saying about the curiosity that's there, and them wanting to connect with us. You know, it's a longing there.
That is exactly right. And this curiosity led to, well, let me just back up just for a second to say that my visit to Ghana during these trips that I've made were not tourist trips like some individuals, and I appreciate you saying that, because you had these real face-to-face experiences as you traveled through Kumasi and Accra and all of these other places in Ghana. So your experience and my experience are very similar. However, there are some people who go over just for vacation, and sometimes they miss the village experiences. Sometimes they miss the slave dungeons and things of that sort, and really getting to know the people. But it's a good something for Americans and others to go over and live in the villages and to understand life and experience life the way our brothers and sisters experience them in their country. And so in saying that, I was able to live in the homes with the individuals, eat the whatever food that they normally eat, and never turn the meal down, because I appreciated the culture. And that's why I'm excited to be on your show and hearing you talk about your experiences there too, and the blending of spirits.
Yeah, we went in. I went in 2004, and I'm still in contact with several of the young men that adopted me as their mother. You know, when I was the elder of the family. Yeah. And one actually just got married a couple of weeks ago, and he so wanted me to be there with him, you know. And so, yeah, those relationships are long-standing, because they're heart-to-heart connections. And I remember because my body doesn't do well with some of the medication that they tell you that you have to take when you go over there, I would be up like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, fully dressed and not knowing the time of day. And so I would be out walking the streets and meeting these guys, you know. And so, like, there was never any fear in me about going out and walking. And that was where I made those connections that you're talking about. I wish I would have had that same experience as you had, to be in someone's home. That just sounds fascinating.
Yes, my total experience was in the homes. I traveled, you know, from one city to the other, spending 3 to 5 days in each and having a host in each one of those cities. And as they learned about me and America, I learned about them. There were many midnight meetings and discussions from older people about what life is like in America, and do they in America talk about maybe they could have relatives in Africa? Those types of conversations were very helpful and healing.
That's good to know that the African wants to know about the connections here, because we all are, you know, one people. We're all connected, always.
That's right.
But yeah, but that separation, you know, it's caused by a lot of different factors. But when we just remember that we each are connected. So what did that feel like for you, though, to be able to find your family of origin? Did you anticipate that you would? I mean, I'm at a loss for words at what it must have felt like for you to go through the process and then to literally look in somebody's eyes and know that that's your family. What did that feel like?
I think it took some steps in order to get to that point. When I first started going over, I was more so wanting to understand the culture of the ethnic tribe. And so all of them became my family, even though many of them were not my blood family. But I was able to learn so much and feel so much from them. They treated me as if I was their blood relative. However, in both of those trips that I made over to Ghana, I really did not know exactly who was my blood relative. It was only about one month ago, through some other type of ancestral testing, that I finally found the actual blood relative. And so on my next trip over, I will be staying with some of my blood relatives.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I need to point out for the listening audience that this blood relative from the side of the family that never left Africa. And so this is going back deep into history in being able to experience this. It was a wonderful feeling.
Wow. I can only imagine. I mean, I'm just like, to be able to trace that back like that and to look into the eyes and know that that's your family right there, man, that has got to be wonderful.
It's an awesome feeling.
Yeah. So I know you've when I look at some of your posts on Facebook, it is always a new individual that's calling you godfather or daddy or, you know, bestowing those type of honors upon you. So I know they're just flocking to you. And you've had some of the young men to come over here. You posted them over here too, right?
That is correct. I have, because of my trip there, I was able to live with some of the families, and as a result, slowly but surely, some of them are beginning to come to America to experience life here. I do have one that might be coming this summer, who was my host in Ghana, and his family. But he might be coming this summer to spend 2 or 3 months.
That'll be awesome. So tell us your name.
My name?
Yes, Nana Kwame.
Okay. My name collectively over the evolving time is Nana Kwame Adebowale Bisanta Makota Leroy Frazier. And the first 5 parts of my name connect to the African ancestry, which means chief, king, member of royal family, coming home to contribute to family in Africa. Pami means that I was born on a Saturday. So all of those things have connect. My name has connection from Ghana to Guinea-Bissau, on to Nigeria and Angola. And by the way, my family has made connections to all of those countries in terms of some of our blood relatives.
Wow. So has your cousin accompanied you on any of the journeys over there? Is he still involved?
he is deeply involved from this side, but we plan to make a trip over in 2017. Here there's been more so of connecting families here through the ancestral work, theoretically and practically, and he has connected so many people who had no idea that they were related in America. A lot of black people have no idea, because of the slavery and the separation, they had no idea, but through these studies, we are now connecting people throughout the United States of America. And it's just amazing how the separation took place. But just because they were separated many years ago doesn't mean that we have to remain separated. We
That's
are defeating.
True. That's true.
We are defeating what the enemy established. We are defeating it, and we are connecting our people back together.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Because you know that that is so such a true, because the names change each time. The ownership of the slave changed, and the name changed. And so to be able to make those connections and to go back and to break some more of those barriers down, man, that's awesome. I love that.
Absolutely. So it's wonderful in America to make the connections state to state. As a matter of fact, some of the people after slavery left and my family left and went to Oklahoma and California, and they did not make connections back with the family in Mississippi. But Reverend Sandy, in more recent times, this year, 2016, some of the descendants of those people are coming back 2 weeks from now, Memorial Day weekend. They're coming to Mississippi, and for the first time, the descendants of the people in Mississippi and the descendants of those in Oklahoma will come back and eyeball each other for the first time,
wow,
even though we are all Americans.
Wow.
And we were separated. So the song that you were playing, it's a family reunion. I was really rejoicing over that song that you were playing, because that's exactly what life is all about now.
But you know what, though, Dr. Frazier, I think we have a sixth sense or a seventh sense or whatever it is that we know, like, at a very, very deep soul level, you know, what's missing and the separation and what it's done to us. And so when the OJs sung that, you could tell that it wasn't just a record that they, you know, were coming up with and singing, but it was something real deep down inside of them. And that's why that record has such magic to it, you know. So we got a caller with a question or a comment. And get them on. 817-657, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment, please.
This is William Safir. Sandy, how are you?
Hey, brother. That's my brother, Dr. Frazier.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yes. Listen, Dr. Frazier, I've done, over the years, I've done a lot of thinking and reflecting on the connection between mother country, Africa, and the continent, and our experience here in America. And I couldn't help but just wonder, in your going back and forth, sitting with the families over there, and the things that you've done and the research, what do you see as some of the most valuable connections and possibilities of how we as African Americans can support what's going on in Africa, and in particular West Africa, and countries like Ghana, and on the other side of that coin, how do you see Africans contributing to and supporting what African Americans need? Have you done any thinking along those lines?
Yes, absolutely. Well, let me deal with the latter one first. Let me deal with both of them together. I think what is happening in our world right now through the opening of social media and other things, people from different parts of the world are getting to know each other in new and interesting ways, especially younger people. And they're learning a lot about each other's culture and wanting to experience those different cultures from a clothing point of view, even from food, from seeing so many things on television, positive things. So the connections are being made. There's this desire for Africans to want to come to America to see their future careers and things of that sort advance, because they're having a lot of problems in their country, and more specifically Ghana, you know, in terms of young people being able to get jobs after they finish college. Their senior leaders have not found that way to really help young people. So what they are connecting with me and others like Sandy in America, Reverend Sandy, is trying to find a way that they can open the door for themselves and their families. They want to understand as much as they can of the American culture. Some of them are stuck in their own culture and not too open for this American type of liberation. But there are others who really want to experience something else. So I think it is this curiosity that is being opened and wanting to experience it. And they are following people like myself and Reverend Sandy and others and wanting to come and to experience what life is like. But let me flip the side of the coin. When I tell them that I want to move to Ghana, what young people tell me would be, why you want to move here? our culture, I mean, our economy is bad. What they don't understand is that I'm not coming for a job. I've already retired. So I'm coming to enjoy life and to connect with them and help them to understand America and culture and all. I don't know whether I answered your question or not.
You did on one level. I'm a student of history, and I've often given a lot of thought to the cycle, and you know, historically over time, over long periods of time, and you know, reflecting back through the ancient civilization. Throughout Africa, Zimbabwe, ancient Zimbabwe, and ancient Egypt, and even Timbuktu, on the west coast of Africa, and Mali and Shanghai, with all the rich cultural history, with the rich traditions that Africans have had in different parts of Africa over the many, 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 many years, you know, going from very strong periods to periods of weakness and back and forth with that. It seems to me that the African separation that resulted in this thing we call slavery in America, and the 400 years since, that it had a very profound impact on the whole movement of humanity historically. And I think that it's there's a deep meaning in all of that. You know, it's more than just what we. What we're beginning to understand and appreciate that American slavery has a big meaning for the forward movement of humanity.
That is correct.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking in terms of our contribution to Africa, and in terms of trying to help our brothers and sisters over there stabilize themselves, not just in terms of jobs, but that, of course, that's, the economy is very important for it, but in terms of being able to gain this stability in terms of cultural stability, to be able to reconnect with their past. I had a trip back to California here recently, and a Nigerian was sitting next to me, and his wife was from Liberia, and they shared with me that they can only go back about 200 years, and historically, they only know of about 200 years of history. They can't go further back than what the Europeans brought, you know, when they dominated and controlled their educational system. So they've lost the connection with their own culture. So I'm just saying, you know, from that level, in terms of tradition, in terms of culture, in terms of stability, in terms of moving forward as human beings, as families, I love the connection that you have in terms of the focus on family. You know, just moving forward on those levels, how do you see us helping each other?
Well, you know, I had the experience there in Ghana of talking with people who were showing me around and others, and you're exactly right in terms of that sense of history beyond 100 years or so. And the problem I think that we have in those countries would be that they passed their history down orally. They did not always write it down. Many of them could not write. And so by traveling there and visiting with them and having conversations, it was able to jog in their minds. And one of the experiences that I had with them is that when I went there, I was traveling all over the country. Well, they had not traveled much from one town to the other. So they learned a lot from me and from others who go over, and perhaps you, because they got a chance to see their own country and learn more about it. So it is the writing,
okay.
It is the writing down of things, and I think they learn a lot from us by seeing us write things down, and found a lot of interest from us by finding interest in them.
Yeah.
But I think too, a lot of that is going to still be that storytelling, you know, passing it down verbally from one generation to another, so that it's not lost. You know, regardless of what the level of education or reading ability is. Let's take a quick break. Dr. Frazier, let you catch your breath. And
okay.
Get you a glass or a drink of water or something. We'll be right back, you guys.
Thank you.
To be somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Thicker than the mud, it's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Was all bad. Was all bad. Each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. No
nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there, but you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Affair. Welcome back. Listening to and joined in to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And tonight we're our subject is reconnecting families from two sides of the Atlantic with Dr. Leroy Frazier. We've talked about his humble beginnings and his love of nature and how his family farming had given him an appreciation for Mother Earth at a very young age, and how that experience has just motivated him to continue to giving back and doing as much as he can to enrich the lives of those that he come in contact with. So if you have a question or a concern, you can give us a call or simply hit one on your dial on 516-531-9819. We got about 25 minutes left for Dr. Frazier. And Dr. Frazier, I wanted to ask you, my brother kind of alluded to this earlier, is it possible for others to contribute? Like you've done a lot of different things as far as the trips and donating books and seed money for businesses both in Kenya and in Ghana. But is there a way for others to contribute to the well-being of Africa, to the children, the schools, or the business? And I believe that's what my brother was asking.
Yes, there he is. I really appreciate his question. There are a lot of opportunities. I will say that the opportunity, I would discourage individuals for sending their money to the African government in hopes that they would distribute the monies to their people. One of the greatest challenges that we have in African countries would be corruption from the point of view of leaders. And so it is best to find a way to find that school directly. And find ways to contribute, or to find that church, or to find that community, and not only just finding the church, but also finding someone in that church, in that school, that's really going to get the money to where it is needed. And I've been able to do that from a business perspective, from the schools, from churches or whatever, and they have really been overjoyed by the help that they receive with their schools, with books, and with things of that sort. I have two things that are happening right as we speak. One is a fraternity that is contributing monies for concrete floors of the, for schools. There right now, the children are walking on sand and sitting with their feet in the sand. And so we are helping them to put concrete floors down. So that's helping the school environment. Some need walls. All of them need books. They need pencils. They need paper. They need They need learning tools, anything that we can basically think of. But the best thing to do it is to build that relationship with someone who is already working at that in that particular area and who will take those monies and use them appropriately and also will demonstrate that they have used your money wisely.
Yeah, because it becomes challenging, to say the least, to send things over there. I know the times that, and it can be somewhat expensive to send books and things like that. I was working with this lady whose mom had died, and she had collected Bibles throughout the year. And I knew that my little godson Charles had recently been ordained and was working out in the field. And so I went to ship those Bibles to him. It took forever, though. It was like 2 months before he received them. And so that's another situation, is you have to be really patient when you send things over. Or have you found another method to send things where it doesn't take as long?
I have not found another way, and I think most of my work has been more so putting the money, sending the money there, and allowing them to buy some things locally and bypass shipping costs, things of that sort.
Okay.
And when I travel there. When I travel there, I'm visiting with the schools and things of that sort. So as I see the need, I'm also providing things on the spot.
Yeah, while you're there, right?
Right.
Very good, very good. So what motivates you, Dr. Frazier, to keep going?
Repeat that question.
What motivates you to keep going?
Oh, my. Oh, that's a loaded question. It's a great question. you know, my first book that I ever wrote and published in the last 6 years that you mentioned was Journey Into My Soul. When I kept going into my soul and realized that the traditional aspects of things, the way they were going, it was not what I desired as far as life going forward. So toward that end, I began to look at the bigger and greater things to contribute to our world, and not so much big, but, you know, in very simple ways of offering it. My thoughts, I had to look back at it. I had to clean my mind out of some things that had been stuck there from the past that were holding me down. When I removed those things, I created all of this possibility for energies to be used in a lot of different ways. And as a result of that, and I'm sure that you can appreciate this tremendously, Reverend Sandy, life just continued to evolve on a day-to-day basis. Like you had that song going, it's a family reunion. It's like every day, get up morning, wonderful day of creating possibilities, and life becoming more and more interesting. I think that is what really drives me, seeing each new day, new possibilities. And not only seeing those possibilities, but experiencing those possibilities. And it goes through something greater than, and a lot of people, the traditional people don't like to hear me say this, but it goes through something greater than the regular tradition of I am going to Sunday school or whatever, and I'm going to get from that, and it might be the same thing. It's not just the Sunday school learning, but it's the application of it to daily life and how one can help others, not just a theoretical help, but a real practical help. And help doesn't always mean money. It means our time. It means a whole lot of simple things, of taking time, of being with individuals, and connecting that back to Africa. Most of my good mornings come from Africa every day.
Wow.
Dr. Schwartz, if I may.
Yes.
Now you're kind of getting at, I think, what's really on my mind and in my heart right now in terms of the basis of the question I was getting at before. In this trip that I had back to California on that plane, that four-hour journey, that young man from Nigeria mentioned to me that his grandfather had lived to be 125 years old.
Right.
Yes, and that his grandfather had not lost the connection with the traditions that they had in terms of, you know, how to take care of himself, the connection to the earth, the herbs, the spiritual connection that they had. His grandfather was able to keep that intact throughout his life. He said, but between his grandfather and his father, it was all lost.
Right.
And, yes. And Sandy and I, we collaborated on a book a few years ago. In this book, we put a lot of attention on looking at our family here in America of the last few generations, last three or four generations, and how we have in, we have gotten away from the meaningful things that I'm sure that your family experienced that down in Mississippi that you alluded to. My family's a little farther removed from that because they live in a small town as opposed to being on a farm. But still, they had a more simple way of life. They would have their, you know, their small animals, the chickens and what have you, in the backyard, and they would have a garden, and they would take herbs, and they lived a more simple, basic life. They had stronger family ties, and we've lost a lot of that in just the last few generations.
Now, exactly right.
So what I'm thinking, what I'm seeing is that there's something there in terms of the rich tradition, the rich spiritual traditions that were passed on. You know, I certainly appreciate the monotheistic religions, Christianity and Islam and Judaism in particular, but there's great value in the traditional spirituality and all of that meant in terms of family cohesiveness, in terms of respect for human life, and respect for nature, and all of that, things that we've lost in the West, that we can gain from a reconnection with those who haven't lost it completely in different parts of Africa. Or if they've lost it, they probably can reconnect easier than we can in America with those things that are so important for the forward movement of humanity. On the other hand, the things that we've gained by being exposed to the advances in science and technology and some of the other conveniences that we have developed in America, we have that to share. But in terms of there's a rich connection that can be made in terms of culture, in terms of getting back to the basis of human life, that we can contribute from what we've experienced here in America over the last 200 years, and reaching back over to our brothers and our sisters in Africa, and tapping into that rich reservoir over there. And I don't know how that would look.
Thank you.
But
we've got another caller, William. And
okay.
Running out of time. So let me pull on caller 619-884. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question, please.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Ali. I'm calling from San Diego. And
hey, Ali.
How you doing? I've been here, you know, listening the whole time, and I really don't have a question or anything. I just wanted to thank the doctor and for coming on and sharing his experience for the listeners. So thank you, and God bless you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Thanks, Ali.
How much time do we have?
We've got 14 minutes.
Okay, I wanted to respond to our good brother. He's exactly right in terms of the passing down of culture and traditions and things of that sort in Africa. They do have an advantage compared to us in the sense that if they really put their minds together, they never separated themselves from that early, early culture that could have been passed down, whereas through slavery, we were taken and forced to forget a number of things. But in their case, in more recent time, with younger people there, they choose to forget some of the things that may have been passed down because they're seeing the influence of white people. Let me put it that way. If a white person comes to them in Africa, and whatever that white person say, they're more prone to accept that than to accept what their people have been passed down to them. So you do have some element of this brainwashing that's going on in Africa at this point, which, by the way, goes back historically, which created slavery in the beginning by fooling people over there and robbing them of their relatives and all, losing them. So they do have an advantage, and one of the reasons why I was going over there was to talk with the older people and learn as much as possible and write from there. The spirituality in Africa, the older ones, I've written much about it in some of my books, and it is something that can help them, but they have been so prone now because of the Western, white Western involvement or whatever, they've tuned their minds away from the spiritual aspects of things, which really worked for them and worked very well. And I've written a lot about that, indigenous African religions and things of that sort, and have visited with them.
And I really appreciate that, because I know there's something there. I just couldn't put my finger on it, but I know there's something very, of great, great, great value there where we can benefit in the mutual exchange. I just have that strong sense, you know, that there. There's something that, with that connection of the African and the African American, we have a combined contribution that we can make to the whole humanity.
You're exactly right. Let me give one example quickly.
Yes.
Over there, you have the chiefs that are over the villages and things of that sort, and Reverend Sandy was mentioning Kumasi and the Ashanti region, a lot of gold there. One of the cities, Manso Abadoun, which is in some parts of the Ashanti region, I went there and talked about education and actually helped them to write a 20-year plan for education. And in doing so, I was able to address the chief of the town. And he, in essence, said, "You see that gold mine over there and that cocoa farm?" He says, "I want to give this to you. I want to give you a home. I want you to come back. I want you to promise me that you will come back." Why am I saying this? I'm saying that as Americans, we can use our minds in order to apply it to really help to produce some of the minds, some of the resources and things that they have. There, sometimes they will see the mines, and they will maybe get little small amounts and mine it, but it does not produce the type of wealth that could help build their educational system. So it takes the Americans and the Africans working together and helping them to understand how to move from just looking at it to making it profitable and work for them to help to build their communities and things.
Yes, yes.
We've got another caller, area code 940535. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question.
Thank you. My name is Eve, and my question is, over there and here where we are in America, is there a big brainwash or difference in religion?
Well, in Africa, there has been this bringing over of, obviously, of Christianity, which is wonderful. Now, by the way, the way they worship, it doesn't really matter which denomination you're from. They still maintain that African culture in terms of their movement in church. So it doesn't matter whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Church of God in Christ, or whatever. They still maintain their culture in terms of movement, in terms of march and things of that sort. So I think from the brainwashing point of view, I think sometimes they get stuck when the things that have been presented to them in terms of life itself and religion, and some of them choose to say, well, I'm supposed to spend all of my hours in the day sharing the gospel. That's wonderful. But I'm trying to help them to understand that they need to eat, and they need to practically apply things that they've learned from religion or whatever.
Thank you. And I'm from Texas, and I want to know one more thing. I'm really having the best time speaking with you, you all. Thank you. What I need to know is, what direct line or address, or how can I get them some money?
To Africa?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I have some projects right now of some schools there. and I do have some information that I can share with you. And by the way, you can look at my Facebook page. You'll see some of them. But I would... if you happen to, Reverend Sandy, if that's okay.
Oh, please do. I was
going
to ask you to also give information on your book, too. So, contact information. Yes.
Thank
right
you
ahead.
Very much. And
you're
don't leave
welcome.
Without, I want to know about the book and where to give money. I want to know all the goodies. You just given us so much goodies, and you filling me up with the best of what I need to be even more successful. I really appreciate you, and I don't want this to be the end.
It will not be the end, and I'm just trying to see how we can get this. Well, let me give you my email address.
Okay.
Do you have something to write with now? Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready. Hey, but this is what I want. Sandy, can you get that good information for me? I don't want him to leave. I want his book. I want all the good information. Wait a minute. I got new animals, and they're in the dark, and I don't want them. If I turn on the light, it's going to be all over.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hey, I have so many questions about animals. I got a whole bunch of good stuff. But the first thing is important to me is the book and how to get to the money. Hey, a lot of love, and this is not the end of you hearing from me. My name is Eve.
We appreciate you, Eve.
So, Dr. Frazier, the email address you want to give is?
L as in Leroy, F as in Frank, Z as in Zebra, the number 2, at yahoo.com. LFZ2 at yahoo.com. And I'd be happy to share that, and also, that might be the best part right now. But I'd
is
be happy to share that.
To find your book?
The website, you can find me on Facebook. I can give you my Facebook name.
Okay.
L is in, I'm sorry, Facebook, Nana, N-A-N-A, Kwame, K-W-A-M-E, Adebowale, A-D-E-B-O-W-A-L-E, Besanta, B-E-S-S-A-N-T-A. If you can find me on Facebook there. And you'll find a lot of the things in which we're talking about in terms of Africa and Africa projects. Nana, N-A-N-A, Kwame, K-W-A-M-E, Bisanta, B-E-S-S-A-N-T-A, Adiba Wale, A-D-E-B-O-W-A-L-E. You'll find me there, and I would be happy to connect with you and introduce you to a number of people there.
Okay. Can I get your book right away?
Yes, I can. I can put you in touch with my books. Are you on Facebook?
Oh, yes, I am on Facebook.
Okay, if you're on Facebook, I will put you directly into all of my books, and they're all described.
And one day, traveling to Africa. This is huge to me. Okay, this is really big. Oh, okay. Hey, a lot of love, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you very, very shortly.
Absolutely. It's wonderful talking with you.
All right, Dr. Frazier, you've got 2 minutes to give us your last closing thoughts, any other additional information you would like to share with the audience. You have been such a gift, such a treasure to us for just opening up your heart and sharing the soul of who you are, and I appreciate you sincerely. So with that, I'll allow you to close us out, please.
Reverend Sandy, this has been the joy of my life, coming on your radio program and talking with you and talking with the brother and talking with others that have called in, listening off our audience, those people who did not call in, but who might be listening. This has been very touching to me. This is what life is all about, how we come together, how we connect, and how we learn from each other. But this show, this radio show, has really done something to me in terms of encouraging me to move forward. As you say on your theme song, it is a family affair. That's what I have gotten from this program tonight. I'm really excited. I'm motivated. I look forward to connecting with any individuals who would like to know more about Africa and share how you can help Africa in direct ways. So I do thank you, and thank you for the invite. And I do look forward to sometime in the future coming back on your program and connecting with the listening audience.
Oh, please do. I'm going to hold you to that one, too. So let me just remind the audience one more time. The email address is L as in Leroy, F like in Frank, C like in zebra, the number 2, at yahoo.com. And the Facebook page, it's the name that is in the description on Blog Talk Radio, Nana Kwame Adebowale. Basanti, did I say it right? I was close.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you. I was working on that one. N-A-N-A, that's Nana Kwame, is K-W-A-M-E. A D E B like in boy, O W A L E. Basanta, B like in boy, E S S A N T A. And that is Dr. Leroy Frazier, and how you can contact him and take a look at his books, be in contact with him with the different projects that he has going on over in Africa, and be a part of the movement, of the positive movement, of the family reconnecting. And once again, Dr. Frazier, I just love you so much, and thank you for your unselfishness and for the work that you're doing in the world. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you, and I thank you.
Love you. So that is our show for this week, everyone. I thank you for being with us and here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You You know, we talk about all the subjects out there, and so we're always open to whatever other subjects you would like to hear. And so until we come together again next Tuesday, may you forever.